Isn't that true that we're part of the redemption story as believers in Christ? That what we do matters as an individual? Like everything that Stacy was sharing earlier that's taking place as a result of this facility, the facility's the tool, and the people are what make those things actually come together and happen. So it's when we serve in all those different ways that were listed and so many other ways that we can really be the family of God offering that redemption story to people. So, and today's sermon kind of ties in with that whole concept, that whole theme of what that video was. And we're going to get there in a minute. But before we do that, I want to talk about what's coming up next week. Stacy shared with you that we're going to be doing communion. So if you're worshiping from home, have elements ready. Beyond that, we're also going to have an extended time of offering thanksgiving, offering gratitude to God within our church family next Sunday. So I'm telling you this week, so you have some time to be thinking about the blessings that God has given to you over the course of the last year. Next Sunday is the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving. So it's kind of, in a sense, a way of us being able to, as a church family, as a church body, offer thanksgiving to God together. So a good part of the service next Sunday will be communion / gratitude and thanksgiving. So be thinking about what you might be willing to share with the church family. It can be such a huge encouragement to each other when we take the time to share the way that God has been a part of our lives, the way that we've seen him a part of our lives over the course of last year. So we really encourage you to be ready to participate in that with us this upcoming Sunday. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we come to you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time to be able to worship you today through song and through giving, through prayer, through your word, through time with each other. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time where we open up your word and we study from your word today, may what your word says penetrate our lives. May it impact how we as believers live our lives. Lord God, you want what is the very best for us. I am convinced that when we are following your word, that is right where we are. We are right where the very best for our lives is. So Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move among us this morning, that you would speak to each one of us, and that we would respond to what it is that you might be saying. We pray this in your name. Amen. So I believe wholeheartedly when I say this, that God has a ministry for each and every one of us. God has a ministry for you, you and you. God doesn't just have a ministry for people that might be in leadership roles in a church. He doesn't just have a ministry for the pastor. He doesn't just have a ministry for certain people. God has a ministry for each and every one of us as we give our lives to him and become believers of Jesus Christ. It's our job as believers to step into that ministry, to make ourselves available for that ministry that God has for us. Now, the truth of the matter is that not every one of us is going to be soul winners for Jesus Christ in a sense, right? But we all have a part in leading people to Christ. We all have a link in the chain of leading people to Christ. We might not be that final link that sits down and prays with somebody to accept Jesus Christ into their life, but we might be that first link that just shows somebody a different way of living life. And they see that, and they're intrigued by that, and conversations happen as a result of that first link. Maybe that's where you are. Or maybe you're the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth link. Wherever it is, we all have a part in bringing people to Christ. It might be through inviting people to church. That might be your link. Maybe that comes easy for you and you just enjoy inviting people to things. Maybe it's through teaching at church. You teach one of the Sunday school classes. Maybe it's through prayer. What a powerful ministry that is. To be committed to praying for your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Maybe it's you're serving in the nursery, you're serving in children's church or VBS that takes place during the summer. Maybe it's through running our audio video stuff. Maybe it's through giving leadership to other ministries. Maybe it's through greeting people when they walk in the doors and making them feel welcome. I don't know what it is for you. But what I do know is that God has a ministry for you. So this morning I want to talk to us about the importance of being available. Now we've been talking about biblical characteristics over the last 2.5 months now. And availability is not really a characteristic, right? I think we can probably agree to that. But when I put the word generous availability, I think it becomes a characteristic. We need to be generously available to God and to doing what His will for our lives is. Whatever ministry God has given you, and He has, you need to be available to do it. And it's not just being available, it's being generously available. And here's what I mean by generously available. Generous means to show a readiness to give more of something, as in money or time, than is strictly necessary or expected. To go above and beyond. To what we're talking about when we talk about being generously available, it means to set other things aside in order to be available for what God has for us to do for His kingdom's purpose. It means making that the priority in our lives. For God to really be able to use us to our full potential, it really starts with us being generously available to be used by Him. Nobody throughout Scripture was consistently and mightily used by God unless they were first willing to be made available to do ministry. Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3 says the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here I am." Samuel was mightily used for God. It's because he was generously available. "Here I am." Mary was the mother of Jesus. There were thousands of virgins in Galilee, perhaps hundreds in Nazareth, but Mary was the one who went down in history. You know why? Notice what Mary said when the angel told her of her chosen ministry. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, it says, "I am the Lord's servant," was Mary's response. "May your word be fulfilled." In other words, I am available. The disciples, we see this all through the four Gospels. The response of the disciples to Jesus' calling in their lives, they were mightily used for the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and they were generously available to do that. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 22, it says, "And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him." They left the boat, which is they left their occupations. They left everything that brought any kind of security into their lives. They left their family, and they generously said, "I'm available for the service of God, for what Jesus is asking us to do." Paul, when God called him, he was the worst sinner around. He was killing people and putting them into prison if they were Christians, and he was a hypocrite. He was a blasphemer. How could God use him so mightily? Listen to what he said after his confrontation with Christ in Acts chapter 9. He said, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what will you have me to do?'" He said, "I'm available. What do you want me to do?" So we hear these kind of stories, and there's others throughout Scripture, very similar. We hear these and we say, yeah, that's great, but I'm not Samuel, I'm not Mary, I'm not a disciple, I'm not Paul. I'm just me. God can't use me like them. I beg to differ. Just like Jesus used the little boy to feed thousands of people. Remember that? All the boy had was some biscuits and fish. He didn't have much to offer. But all that he did, he made generously available to Jesus. He didn't say, I'm going to give you everything but one loaf of bread, but one fish, because I'm going to take that and keep that for myself and for my family when I go home. He didn't do that. He was generously. He gave above and beyond what anybody would expect. And Jesus took what he had, and he multiplied it, and he used it, and there were leftovers at the end of the day. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. This is going to be our main passage that we're going to look at today. And we're going to go verse by verse through the book of Luke, the first 11 verses in chapter 5. If you're using one of the church Bibles, page 728. And I would really encourage you to turn with us there, because literally we're going verse by verse. So I want us to start this morning by looking at the end result, and then we'll backtrack to the very beginning, verse 1, and we'll see what gets us to that end result. So the end result is found in Luke chapter 5, verse 10, the second half of verse 10. It says, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.'" So the end result is that redemption is going to take place in other people's lives, that you're going to be fishing, not for fish anymore, but you're going to be fishing for men. You're going to be making a difference in the kingdom of God. Now, here's the scene for our story before we back up to verse 1, right? Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law. He had healed the sick, and he cast out demons. The next day, he went to a deserted place just to rest. The people flocked to hear Jesus. Then he went to the cities of Galilee and he preached there. And they flocked to hear him there. And now at the Sea of Galilee, this is where we pick up. In verse 1, the passage says the people had gathered to do what? They gathered to hear. To hear the word of God is what verse 1 tells us. Isn't that why we gather on Sunday mornings? To hear the word of God. It's through hearing and understanding and applying the word of God that spiritual growth takes place in our lives. It's through the word of God that salvation happens. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." That's why we invite people to church. That's why we invite people on Wednesday nights to kids club, because those kids are going to hear the word of God. That's why it's important that we are willing to share our stories as believers in Jesus Christ. That there will be a witness for Christ. That's why it's important that we have ministries taking place, like Sunday school, where we dive into the word of God, like life groups, where we study and we grow together, and other outreach things. That's why it's important that we do things like the Operation Christmas Child boxes, because every box that goes out there, those kids, as they receive those boxes, they're going to hear about the word of God. God uses whatever source is available to get his message to the world. So let's continue in our passage and see what God found in this particular situation. Let's pick up at verse 2. It says, "He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And we'll just stop right there. So Jesus was being pushed into the water by the crowd. In verse 1, it says that they were thirsty for the word of God. Everybody wanted the front row seat. It's not like church today where the value's in the back row seat. Everybody wanted the front row seat. Jesus needed a place to be able to speak from. So he sees this boat. In the boat, he could both be seen and he could be heard. So in verse 3, it goes on, and it says, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Jesus uses Simon's boat. He uses it because Simon was generous and made it available. It was ready for the master's use. Simon was willing to give what he had, even if it was dirty. How many times do we make excuses about not doing something ministry-wise? Because we don't feel like it's the best, or because we feel like we might be embarrassed or whatever, right? He gives him this dirty, smelly old fishing boat to use. And God will use whatever we have and whatever we make available to him. Doesn't have to be brand new, shiny, and smelling great. It's important that what we notice is Jesus didn't demand the use of the boat here. He didn't just take it. He asked Simon. Simon could have refused. And Jesus doesn't force us to be instruments in the process of leading others to Christ. He just doesn't do that. That's not the way that God operates. I think sometimes he may make us wish that we had yielded to his will. I think that that's true. But he won't force us. He uses only what is made available to him. What we offer of ourselves to him in service. And then in verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. So in verse 3, they put out just a little bit from shore. And then in verse 4, they launch out into the deep. And this is just kind of a symbolic thought, okay? Here's a thought that comes out of that. Is when we make ourselves available just a little bit, and the little bit that we have available to God and to his use, he will lead us into deeper and greater things. Don't give up if you're not winning 10 people to the Lord today, or tomorrow, or the next month, or the next year. Don't give up if you've never led somebody to the Lord. Jesus won't ask you to launch out into the deep until you first launch out a little bit from land. Jesus will lead you one step at a time. If we as believers are taking our faith seriously, every believer, everyone in here that professes, everybody at home that professes to be a believer of Jesus Christ, if we're taking it seriously, we would be leading people to Christ every single day. But maybe your ministry isn't the last link in the chain. You might not be the one that sits down and prays with them, but you can still be leading people to Christ by being the first link in the chain, by befriending somebody, by sharing a little bit of your life with them, a little bit of your story with them. Not all of us are going to be that last link that does the reaping part. Maybe the very thought of leading somebody to Christ just makes you say, I can't do that. The key is you've got to make yourself available first with what you have, what you can do, and then God may lead you into deeper waters. So what do you have to do first? First, you have to let Jesus into your boat. Too many believers have left Jesus out of their boats, so to speak. He's still on shore. We're glad to let Jesus save us and to take us to heaven. That part we like. We're happy with that. But we don't want him to be in the boat with us. We don't want Jesus to get too involved in our lives. We don't really want Jesus as Lord of our lives. We want him to be Lord of parts of our lives, but not all the parts, because for some parts it's not as comfortable or fun. First, we have to come to the point where we're willing to be available and willing for Jesus to use us. We must be available to be a link in his chain, to offer other people salvation and the good news, the hope of Jesus. So let's look at what Jesus told him in verse 4 again. He said, let down your nets for a catch. Let down your nets for a catch. If you want to catch fish, what do you got to do as a fisherman? You got to let down your nets. Seems pretty self-explanatory. Fish don't usually just jump into the boat. If you ignore the lost condition of those around you, the lost won't get any closer to heaven. What did they have available to them? They had nets. Jesus didn't tell them to use something that they didn't have. So Jesus tells them, put what you have available to use. Maybe you don't have very much. Generously put what you have to use. Make it available to Jesus. Just do what you can. Mark tells the story of a woman who took an alabaster box of perfume, right, and poured it on the head of Jesus. And some of the disciples, remember what they did? They rebuked her for that, saying that she could have sold it and given the money to the poor. But listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, verse 8. He says, she did what she could. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand and prepared for my burial. If you don't do what you can, you'll never launch out into the deep and do more. She gave the little that she had. We have to learn as believers not to cry over what we can't do, but to focus on what we can do. And especially in the world today, I think we live in this world where we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people. And we need to forget about that. God didn't make you to be somebody else. God made you to be who you are. There's a great danger when we start comparing ourselves. What if I were to say that I'm never going to preach another message again because I'm not a Billy Graham? Or if a high school quarterback says, I'm not going to be a quarterback anymore because I'm no Tom Brady. Whether you like him or not, he can throw a football. The truth is, I can't, and nor can a high school student. But instead of doing nothing, we need to do what we can and should and do it to the very best of our abilities. Verse 5a goes on to say, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. We worked all night and we've caught nothing. Perhaps you might have failed Christ in the past. Don't let that keep you from ministry now. See, the disciples cited a previous experience. They cited the night before, but they had fished all night and they caught nothing. But it's different now. Because God's a part of this now. This is a new day. This is November 14th, 2021. It's not November 13th anymore. This is the first day of the rest of each one of our lives. This is the first day of the rest of our Christian ministry together as brothers and sisters. Don't let past failures keep you from going on and moving forward. And then the second part of that verse, it goes on to say, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. So here's where really victory comes in, right? In spite of the fact that I can't see what good it will do, I can't see how it's going to work because I just fished all night and caught nothing. I can't see how God is going to use me because of what I've done in the past. I'll do it anyways. Why? Because Jesus asked me to do it. And then we go on to verse 6 and 7. It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Because he gave to Jesus what he had, which are these nets. Because he made himself available by being generously available, by giving everything. We look at the results, and it says in verse 6, the nets began to break, but they still filled the boats with fish. I think sometimes we feel as believers like we're that broken net. We're just not good enough. We're not complete. Maybe we try to witness to somebody, but we feel like we failed in the process. It's a hole in our net. We try to teach somebody about the God that we know and we love, and we feel that we didn't do a good job of it. That happens sometimes. But we see that as a hole in our net. We try to live the Christian life, and that is not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do ever. It's not an easy thing to do in 2021, that's for sure. And sometimes we mess up as we try to live the Christian life. And we feel like that's another hole in our net. We see the inadequacies of ourselves, our shortcomings, our inabilities, our weaknesses. But notice that with all Simon Peter's faults and failures, and even his doubts and questioning, even with his broken net, he still caught fish. All because of his generous availability to Jesus. But because you say so was his attitude, right? Because you say so, I will let down the nets. He made himself available to Christ. With what he had in order to do what Jesus asked him to. So let's continue in the passage, verse 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. So it says that he was astonished. You may be amazed at what God can do with your broken net, with you and the holes that you have in your life, with your inadequacies, with your shortfalls, with your weaknesses. You just need to make them available to him to use. I think this experience, it humbled Peter. Peter realized he was nothing. That Christ was everything, right? He fell to his knees in front of Jesus. He knew he couldn't have done it. He tried and he failed, but he found out if if you give to God the nothing that you have, the nothing that you are, then Jesus can make you into something for him. Peter knew that he wasn't fit to be in the same boat as Jesus. Peter knew the boat wasn't by any means a worthy pulpit for Jesus to preach from, but it was a pulpit. You and I are unworthy to be a pulpit for Christ, to be a mouthpiece for Christ. But that's what Jesus wants from us. And he'll use us if we make ourselves generously available. When we make ourselves available, he will give us opportunity to be used fully for him and for his kingdom. And then we jump down to the next verse, verse 10 and 11. This is kind of the ending of this particular passage. It says, "And so were James and John, and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." Jesus had better things in store for them. That's what we see at the end of the story. Those better things were to be a part of ministry, a part of offering redemption to people, a part of offering new life to people. Jesus wanted them to go from the little things to the bigger things that he had in store. He wanted them to go from fishing for fish to fishing for men. Just think about what these disciples did in such a short period of time, really. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people that were saved. Andrew went to Asia with the gospel and spread the gospel. Bartholomew went to India with the gospel. Simon went to Africa with the gospel. They became what Christ wanted them to become. They became fishers of men. They learned some valuable lessons in the boat in Luke chapter 5. When Jesus speaks, we should listen. Where the Lord leads, we should go. What the Lord gives, we should make generously available to him. So I ask you this morning, is Jesus in your boat? Is Jesus in your boat? Or are you sailing through life alone? We will never be blessed, truly blessed, unless Jesus is Lord of our lives. Unless you're in the boat with Jesus, we need to be generously available to Jesus with our time, with our talents, our finances, with our devotion to God. We need to generously use the godly characteristics that we've been talking about over the last couple months for the advancement of God's kingdom. I think that one of the great things in regards to witnessing to people, one of the greatest ways that we can do that, is just for people to see us live life differently. And when we take into account the different characteristics we've looked at over the last 2.5 months, if we really work on those characteristics and applying them to our lives, and living them out day in and day out. Living them out in the easy times to do it, but living them out when it's really hard to do it. That is when God is able to use us the most for his kingdom. That's why it's so important that we are continually working at who we are as people and trying to apply the godly characteristics that we see in Scripture to ourselves and to our own lives. Let's pray together. Lord God, we learn so much from this passage. What seems to be just kind of a simple story in one of the Gospels gives us some very profound insight into living life. So help us, Lord God, as we leave this place, as we live our lives, that when we hear you speak, that we listen. That we're willing to ignore the things in our past, the mistakes, the faults, the weaknesses, the whatever it is, and say, you know what, God is saying he's going to use me today. Help us to be obedient and going when you call us to go. When the disciples were told that they were to go and to be a part of doing ministry, they gave up everything in a moment to go and do that. Help us to respond in a similar way. And help us, Lord God, to know that what you give us, that we need to, in turn, make those things, whether they be material things, whether they be our talents, our finances, whatever it is that you bless us with as people, that we need to make those generously available to you and to your kingdom, because that's the purpose why we have them in the first place. Sometimes in our selfishness, Lord God, we desire to hold on to those things. Forgive us for when we do that. And help us to generously give of what you've given to us. We pray this in your name. Amen.